Hi, my name's Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, MPE Live. This is Season 5, Episode 2, Man in the Hallway. So this episode is from me at Untangling Our Roots when I walked around the hallway and just asked people if I could interview them. And in all of them, they were taken in a crowded hallway, so beware. So I just want to say I went to Untangling Our Roots. I was only there a couple days, but I absolutely enjoyed it immensely. It was so nice being around other MPEs, donor-conceived people, and adoptees. It was just really amazing. Like everywhere you went, it was one of us. We didn't have to explain feelings. We didn't have to explain, you know, we didn't have to explain our feelings. That's the easiest way to say it. I'm really glad I went. It was something special. And also just meeting a lot of you that I've never met in person, but I've talked to you and had intimate conversations with. So that was really cool. So I'm not going to really give an introduction to most of these just because it's so, you know, you learn what I learn when I walk up and start talking to them. I do have to say this. I tried to do a joke with people. I would ask them before I started recording, hey, you know, I told them who I am and what I was doing. And sometimes they would, I could tell they'd never heard of it. So I started trying to do this bit where I would get them while recording saying, oh, you've never heard of my podcast? And it was just not funny, but I left it in there a couple times just to show you how not funny it was and how uncomfortable I made them and myself. So yeah, I would just walk up to people and say, hey, can I interview you? One of them you'll hear the second one I think I have up. I had a different microphone on, so it's kind of, you hear more of the crowd. It's not a directional microphone, so I apologize for that. Without any further ado, here's me at the Untangling Our Roots Summit in Denver, walking around, talking to folks. All right, so I'm here with, what was your name again? Jenny?
Jenny. Yeah, Jenny Bennett.
And you're a local?
Yes.
Okay. She actually wrote to me and Eve and volunteered, asked us if we need any information or anything while we're here, blah, blah, blah. I almost asked you for a ride from the airport.
Oh, yeah. So I would have come and picked you up.
It's practically in Kansas, the airport.
Yes, it is.
So I see you by your button. You're a DCP?
Yes, donor-conceived person. But I was an MPE, so that's how I found out that I was donor conceived, because I took a 23andMe test and surprise.
And where were you when you found out?
I was here in Denver. Well, I was in church and I got the little notification that my test results were ready from 23andMe, and then went home and I had six half siblings and all the questions began.
Wow, six half siblings. So you knew immediately.
No, I didn't. I was like freaking out. Like, did my dad have an affair? But one of my half siblings was born the same year that the sister that I grew up with was born. So I was like, okay, well, he could have had an affair. And then I start asking neighbors and stuff, and they needed to let me process, but they kind of already knew because they were really into genealogy. And then one of my siblings reached out, or I reached out to her and said, you know, can you tell me what you know? And she said, do you know anything? And I said, no, I know nothing. And so she said, hold on, here we go. And just told me that I was doing.
And then, and did you talk to your parents about it before that or after that?
Yeah. So I told my mom that I was doing 23andMe. And I was so excited because I'm just dorky in that way. And I just love, you know, to learn about where we're from and all that stuff. And then.
So many of us are. Like, that's why we end up doing the test.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is great. You know, I get to see if I'm more English or German or. And so I told my mom that I was going to take 23andMe. And she said that she didn't think it was a good idea. That the military, you know, the government is going to take my DNA or something. And I was like, you were in the army. My mom was a nurse in the army. So I was like, they already have everything on you that they want. They're probably surveying all your internet, you know. I mean, they know everything about you already. Why are you worried about this? And she was like, I just think it's silly. And I was like, okay, well, if you have any skeletons in your closet, now would be the time to tell me. And she never, like, I want to know where I came from. I want to know who my donor is. I want to get to know my siblings. And my mom never talks about it. She shuts it down to this day. She asked me last night, what conference are you going to? I said, oh, I'm going to this thing called Entangling Your Roots for MPEs and donor-conceived people and adoptees. And she just got really quiet. And then
I think we have the same mom.
And she thinks I should leave the donor alone. And I'm like, I wrote him a letter. She freaked out about that. But I was like, I don't need anything from him. I don't need any sort of relationship from him. I would love to sit in a room with him and see, like, do we have the same aneurysms? Do we kind of act alike, you know? But I don't need anything from him. But I would like medical information, and he's never... And he's actually advised his family not to talk to any of the donor-conceived children of his.
And so none of them have talked to him?
No, none of them have talked to him.
Wow. And then one last question. So has anybody ever said to you any form of, you're still you?
Oh, yeah. If one more person tells me... that my dad is still my dad, I might punch him in the face. And I know that sounds awful to say, but it just stirs up so many emotions.
And just so you guys out there, you can't see, she's like this cute little blonde hair, blue eye, and like would never punch anybody, you would think. But yeah. One more person.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because I don't know why people don't understand that we just want... to know. I mean, yes, my dad was my dad, and he was a, you know, wonderful father. He's deceased now, but I still come from somebody else. And my mom also doesn't recognize that. It's everything is, oh, you're just like me. That's just like me. That's just like me. And I'm like, well, there's a whole nother half of me that is like, maybe like somebody else. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Hi. So I'm Don Anderson with Missing Pieces. And what's your name?
My name is Tamika Griffin.
Tamika?
Mm-hmm.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I grew up not far from Memphis.
Okay. Yeah.
Blytheville, Arkansas. Uh-huh. Have you heard of that?
Absolutely.
55 miles. I know exactly how far it is from Memphis because there was a sign right outside my trailer park. So 55 miles to Memphis.
Yeah.
So... are you an MPE?
I am an MPE.
And when did you find out?
31 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
You don't even look 31.
Well, thank you. I just had my 50th birthday. This is my present to myself.
Oh wow, happy birthday.
Thank you.
How did you find out?
It was a series of events, but I needed my birth certificate, and I'd never had my certified copy. And when I did get my certified copy, my mom had to pretty much come clean.
Okay.
But I was raised as another person as my father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you know the biological father? Did you find out who it was at that time?
I found out a few months later.
Okay.
But everybody in my family knew. All my siblings knew. My aunt, uncles, my father who raised me knew. Everybody knew.
Oh.
And we went to school with the family and so they knew.
And how did they, did you tell them at that time that you knew?
No.
Have you told them?
Yeah, they know. Yeah, they know. It's some other stuff that I won't disclose, but yeah. But everybody knew. Yeah.
And then did anybody ever say to you a version of, you're still you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're still my daughter. You're still my full old sister.
Yeah.
You're blessed with a great dad. You didn't miss anything.
And how did you feel when they told you that?
Misunderstood, I think.
Yeah.
But as I have gone through this journey, I think what bothers me about it is you can't accept or don't want to accept or can't empathize with me about how hurtful this is.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like, I know that the intent is for it to be a Band-Aid, but when you've been a secret, you don't want a Band-Aid. You want to heal all the way through. You want everybody to know. And you want that rage outlet, kind of. Right. I don't know. I don't know any way else to put it, but yeah. You don't want to be soothed. I feel like they've tried to soothe me my whole life by keeping it a secret.
Tried to what?
To soothe me my whole life, yeah. And yeah. I don't want soothing. I want honesty. That's the closure I need, is yeah. honesty and conversation. Because I'm kind of still the secret. It's still a secret. It's never talked about. It's an open secret, maybe. I can feel like that. I never really got any information. Both of my fathers are now deceased, so I never really got a conversation or what happened or what was going on and was this the decision. And my mother isn't very forthcoming. She's from the silent generation, so she's silent.
So I'm Don Anderson with Missing Pieces, MPE Life podcast. I'm just asking some people some questions. Are you okay with that?
I am.
Okay. Have you heard my podcast?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. You're the first person that I've talked to. Just kidding. It's actually not funny, so I'm going to move on. Why are you at the summit?
Well, I recently had an NPE discovery. It hasn't even been a year, so it's still fresh, and I just wanted to talk to people who understand my situation, because I don't think people mean to be dismissive of you, but if you just tell people who haven't been through this, they really don't understand. So I need to be around people who understand my situation and have been through it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Kara, who runs, she's the main person at Right to Know, who's putting this on, she asked me to do this and said, you know, and so the question she wanted me to ask everybody was, has anybody ever said a version of "you're still you"?
Oh yes, that is probably the top three response that I get is, oh, I won't say my name, but yes, you're still you. That's, how did you know? Are you a mind reader? Yes, exactly. It's again, to use that word, dismissive. It's not really validating what you're feeling.
Exactly. So, and then how did you find out?
I took one of those ancestry tests. I took two of them, and I wasn't related to the man who I thought was my biological father.
When you opened the results, was it immediately that you knew?
No, it wasn't immediate, because I couldn't believe what I was reading. I thought, this is a mistake. I'm not related to these people. This is a mistake.
So how close related were the people that you didn't know?
I reached out to, I think she was a second cousin, and she said, oh, I actually meant to contact you. And I was the first one who contacted her. And she said, oh, I've pretty much figured out who your father is. And I just said, wow, I can't believe it.
Wow. Did she know that you thought your father was somebody else at that point?
Well, I explained to her that I thought my father was somebody else. Oh. Right, right.
So, but I guess what I'm not understanding, what was your tell when you opened it? Are you a different ethnicity?
That was actually part of it. I was, I'm almost 40% German, which was a shock to me.
And where are you from?
I'm from the Central Valley of California.
What part? I'm from LA.
Oh, okay. I'm about 45 minutes south of Sacramento. It's actually near Stockton.
Okay. And what's your first name?
My first name is Denise.
Hi, Denise. Good to meet you. Okay. Here we are at the summit, and I'm talking to
Michelle Spear.
Hi, Michelle. And I'm Don Anderson with Missing Pieces. Have you heard my podcast?
No.
Seriously? You're like the only person here that hasn't heard it.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
What is wrong with me?
I know. So what brings you to the summit?
I wanted to meet all of my internet heroes that has helped me come out of my fog as an adoptee and just learn more about what it's, that I'm not the only one that feels the way I feel.
Right. And who are your internet? What do you mean by that? They're like authors and stuff that are here?
Yes, like yourself, podcasters or bloggers or some.
So you do know some podcasters?
Yes, I do. I do know a couple, yeah. Most of my work has been in legislation. So a lot of the people that I came in communication with over the internet were through blogs and also just groups on Facebook or different things to learn about how to maneuver legislation to get things changed so that adoptees could have our original birth certificates.
Great. And you, I assume, are an adoptee?
I am an adoptee. Yeah, I was adopted at birth. I was 5 days old in 1971. My mom and father were high school sweethearts. They were seniors in high school. And just her parents, you know, typical societal norms back then. I was born in what they call the baby scoop era, where they just sent the girls off and came in and scooped the babies. So, yeah.
So you refer to your biological parents as your parents? Or you said my mom and dad?
Yeah, I did say my mom and dad, yes. I use the term loosely. It's easier than having to explain birth mother, birth father, adoptive mother, adoptive father, because I call my adoptive parents my parents. So, because they're the ones that raised me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, Joe. Thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you.
All right. And Missing Pieces in PE Life, listen for yourself.
I'm going to. I'm going to go to my room right now and listen.
All right. Thanks.
My name is Beth Sturry, and I am an adoptee, but I'm also one of the executive leaders of National Association of Adoptees and Parents and the executive committee for Untangling Our Roots.
Wow. So I got a big shot.
I wouldn't say that.
Interesting. So you're the first person I talked to that from NAACP. Did I get it right?
No C.
Oh my God. Oh, that's, I know what that is. NAACP.
Yeah.
All right. So you're the first person I talked to from your organization. How's the summit going for you guys?
We feel like it's really going well. A lot of planning and details come together, but I feel like there's a real excitement and a real buzz in the air. People are happy to be here. And when we saw so many people raise their hands that this is the first time they've been to something like this, that was really encouraging that we are helping to spread the word to a wider and wider audience all the time.
Right. That's great. So when did you find out you were adopted?
I always knew. I can't remember a time of being told. We were very small children. I have three adopted brothers younger than me. And my mom said she knew an adult who found out as an adult that they had been adopted. And she thought that was a horrible thing to do to any person. And she would never consent to that. So we just always knew. I think we were all pretty well adjusted. It was just like the normal thing. We didn't talk about it really, but it wasn't like we couldn't talk about it. It was just like, yeah, this is what it is. Our friends all knew. Our family all knew. Like the whole, I was the oldest. I was the first one to join the family. And it's like the entire county knew the day my parents got the call. So when you're not a secret, you know, when it's treated like it's just an okay thing, then, you know. Now, did we ever have any angst about it? Probably more than we ever let on. Maybe we didn't even know that's what it was from, but...
Are any of you guys related?
No, we were all infants. We were between 2 and 4 weeks old when our parents got us.
You know, so there's a booth down the way here that has some pretty eye-opening statistics. So like alcoholism is 300 times more prevalent in adoptees. How much have you had to drink today? I'm kidding.
I don't drink at all. Our parents never drank. So we weren't exposed to drinking growing up, but my brother became an alcoholic. He did recognize it and went to AA and even became a leader within AA. But then years down the road, he found out who his parents were, and his father, his birth father, was an alcoholic. We had very good adoptive parents, and we also had adoptive parents who didn't act like we were their personal property. They didn't act like they were entitled to have kids. You know, infertility was the issue. Well, my mother could get pregnant, but she just had miscarriage after miscarriage. So they made the conscious decision to build a family through adoption. But one thing that she said that I always feel like really sums up her attitude was, she said she would get really irritated and she'd say, people used to come up to me all the time and say, oh, you are such wonderful people for adopting these kids. And she said, I would look at them and say, we weren't wonderful. We were selfish. We wanted to build a family.
So I had talked to her the previous evening, and her idea why some people get rejected and some people don't is pretty amazing, and I think maybe spot on, because I've always wondered why some people get rejected and why some don't. Here's what she has to say about it.
I feel like whether or not the existence of the child has remained a secret all these years has a big impact. I would say, let's see, personally, all four of us have now found ours.
And we were talking about this last night, right? Was that
yes.
You? Yeah. So tell me what you said last night about that.
Okay. Two things. Okay. Once I found mine, two of my brothers came to me and said, we want to find ours. And my daughter and I were thoroughly entranced with this genetic genealogy. So we just really dove into it and learned a lot. And now I do search angel work for other people. But we ended up solving all three of my brothers. And somewhat in their experiences, but in a lot of the other cases I solve, if you were a secret, birth mom is going to have if you've continued to be a secret, you know, all of these years or decades, birth moms may have a very difficult time just saying, yes, you were my child, and yes, I want to connect with you. And then when it comes to father, if dad was a known player, siblings tend not to be that surprised to find out, oh, dad had another kid he didn't know about. Oh, and that was my case. My father was a known player for sure, a ladies' man, a charmer, very handsome. And two of my new half-siblings said to me, we always wondered if there were more of us out there somewhere because of, you know, his known behavior. And they were just like, yeah, let's be siblings, you know. They were really cool with it. But that old double standard thing of it's okay for guys, you know, to play around, so to speak. Society might think that. But it's a different story for women. And, you know, for my maternal side to find out their mother and their grandmother had a secret pregnancy and then walked across the backyard and left a baby on a doorstep was a totally different scenario than, oh, hey, dad has a kid he didn't know about. And that definitely impacted reunion. I was basically a secret in the maternal, except for one person knowing, because he couldn't deal with it. And he wanted to keep it a secret. But as a number of speakers since we've been here already have said, secrets tend to come out. And one of his granddaughters tested her DNA, and I got a message saying, who are you? Because I look like a high match, even though she didn't know much about it. I look like a high match. And so then the secret was out that there is another person in the family that we didn't know about.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you last night. So here at the summit, talking to, what's your name?
Hannah Andrews.
Where's your, oh, she has it hidden. Her name tag. We all wear a name tag. Oh my God. You won't get any more free food.
Here I am.
So Hannah Andrews, and she's going to read something that she read last night at the, wasn't really a talent show. What was it?
It was called the Misfit Variety Show.
Open mic, I think about it.
Open mic, basically, yeah.
And I wasn't recording during it, and I just really wanted her to read it.
This is actually a real conversation that took place with a little bit of, you know, artistic license, but it is a real conversation that took place with my doctor after I got some genetic testing done.
Okay. Here we go. What's the name of it?
Does Not Apply. It's one of the best profiles I've seen, she says. Well, swipe right, I think. But it's not that type of profile. I am zooming with my super fancy genetic scientist doctor. I would think her a total genius, except she's just asked me for the third time in as many appointments about my family medical history. No history, I remind her. I'm adopted. On my first appointment, the one before the one with the unending vials of fasting blood work and that creepy MRI, I wrote, does not apply, under family history, all caps. I added, adopted, lowercase, and parenthetically. It's second nature, though it has evolved. I used to write it in teensy tiny little letters as if whispering an apology, adopted. Over the years, my words got bigger, messier. By my 30s, I'd just scrawl, adopted, kitty corner, across the form. But I've mellowed. On my best days, I make polite suggestions. Perhaps you could add a box to the form, one that says adopted or unknown parentage. This is not one of my best days, but I hold my tongue and we zoom along. She hits share screen. My monitor fills with the data of me, whole genome sequencing, blood-based biomarkers, bone and muscle analysis. She chirps through my results as if she created me, Dr. Frankenstein to my monster. I must admit, though, it's fascinating. There is one anomaly, she says, and then turns into Charlie Brown's teacher, wah-wahing her way through a bunch of words I don't know. The gist of it is that I'm a carrier of something, but it's no biggie unless my partner has the same gene. I remind her that I'm in my 50s and childless. She continues, well, it's not a concern then, but this gene mutation can increase the risk for liver issues, and that's where I cut her off. My biological mother died of liver cancer, and I can't stop myself. I just assumed it was from booze because Illinois said I had no inheritable diseases, so I figured she drank too much, though I did meet her bestie who said she wasn't a heavy drinker, but my bestie would have said the same thing about me back in the day. Dr. DNA's face freezes on screen. Did the internet drop? I thought you didn't have any information, she says. That's all I know, I stammer, like a little kid caught in a lie. I also bristle, because once I got a smidge info, I didn't feel like sharing. Nobody cared when I had to write does not apply for 50 years, so I just kept writing it. That adoption agency, they were content to scribble mother healthy, maybe Hispanic, on my record. Illinois legally disappeared me, sealed up my birth name, my mother's birth name. Not one update ever. When I finally got my OBC, I dug and dug until I found her. Dead. She was dead. Still, thanks to science, I can, for a price, find out more, fill in some blanks. Commercial DNA analysis provided me with a rich ancestral lineage that includes Sicily, Mexico, Mali, Ghana, Ireland, and then some bits and bobbles from around the globe. One genetic genealogist said I had the most diverse ancestry she had seen. I am made of everywhere and no one. That same DNA company linked me to 7,000 matches on my paternal side. But for the life of me, I can't find my dad. But good genes, healthy genes, no apparent markers for Alzheimer's or cancers, and I'm beyond grateful for this information. Yay, science! Still, I can't shake this bitterness. Much of this I should have known years ago. Maybe it would have changed nothing. Or maybe everything. The doctor continues Charlie Brown teaching me, but I'm done with today's lesson. Awesome, I say. Let me dust off my time machine, fly back to 1995, and pop out some babies. She tells me I'm funny, though neither of us laughs. And what I don't tell her is, I used to think, and by used to, I mean not just as a kid, but till like 5 years ago, that maybe I was from another planet. I had no proof otherwise. I possessed a fully fake birth certificate, direct from the government. I mean, come on. So I thought my spawn might also be alien, might just crawl right out of my belly. It wasn't the only reason I didn't reproduce, but it was on the list. I know it's illogical, but so is having no backstory and a fake identity. Anyway, I am provably human now. My doctor, who's practically a genius, says my genes are superior. Okay, maybe she didn't say superior. Not Einstein or supermodel genes, but really healthy. The best she's seen in years. And they will die with me.
Awesome. Thank you. So that is so good. But so are you a writer?
I write. Yeah, I'm a writer.
But like, have you ever gotten paid to write?
A little bit.
I only ask because you're a good writer. Like, I am very judgmental, but seriously, it is.
Thank you.
Have you rewritten it? Like, I'm a writer too. I mean, no one's ever paid me, but I write. But I know it's all in the rewriting. It sounds.
I do a lot of editing and a lot of rewriting. And then if it's like they said, 5 minutes, like I sit and read aloud and time it and cut words and cut a few more words. And it's all in the editing.
Yeah, I was in a writer's group and we did that in it. But like every time I've done that where I had to, you know, cut it down to 2,500 words to read it or somewhere, it always made it better.
Yes, I totally agree. I thought you were going to say, no, I miss those other words. No, every time I have to, cuts make it better. Like everything that you think you're married to, like you're not.
Got to kill those babies.
Yeah. Kill those babies or just give them up for adoption, one or the other.
Now we've come full circle. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi. So what's your name?
Deborah.
Deborah, and why are you here at the summit?
I'm here to get out of my own little adoption bubble and learn more about other people's experiences with adoption and widen my understanding.
And are you a LDA? Do you know what that means?
No.
Late discovery adoptee?
No, I found out I was adopted at the age of 7. I had a child I gave up for adoption at the age of 16, and when I was in my 50s, I reunited with my daughter, and then went on a journey of DNA and through Ancestry.
Wow, and how's it going with your daughter?
It's great, really great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so
really
cool.
Really great, no regrets.
So did you search for your biological parents?
Yes, I did.
And did you find them?
My mother is still alive, but she does not want contact, and she is pretty aggressive about the fact that she does not want contact. My biological father is now deceased. I had 4 half-brothers that are all unfortunately passed away.
And so you've heard of my podcast, right, Missing Pieces?
I believe I have heard of it. I'm very bad at podcasts. I always want to listen to them, but now I have an excuse to listen to yours. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
How are you guys enjoying the summit?
It's been good. This is my second one, and I'd have to say there's quite a few more people here this year compared to last year.
And are you guys a couple?
Yes. It's my wife. Yeah.
And she's... You're not an MP or anything?
No.
Nope. I'm MPE.
Where are you from?
Illinois, from Southern Illinois.
So when did you find out you were an MPE?
A little over 2 years ago.
And how did you find out?
Facebook message. I received a Facebook message from someone asking how they were related to me. And over the course of the next week or so, I discovered that it was me that had the family issue, not them, and found out Dad wasn't Dad.
Wow. And your DNA was up somewhere?
Yes, with Ancestry. I had taken an Ancestry test probably 4 to 5 years prior, never suspected anything.
Wow. And say your name if you don't mind.
Sure. Matthew Nicklin.
Okay. And then has anybody ever said to you a version of you're still you?
Oh, I get that all the time. Your dad's still your dad. You're no different than who you were before. You know, you get those comments a lot. And yeah, they bother me. But at the same time, the person that's making the comment usually doesn't know any better. So I'd forgive them.
Yeah, I know my wife and my stepson, both who are both very kind, empathetic people, like were arguing one night. And it's like, it pissed me off. But I did forgive it. But yeah, it is annoying. And how's it been for you?
It's been a ride, you know. Just ups and downs, but mostly just trying to support and learn. And
it's so great that you came. Did you find any family?
Yeah. Well, yes, I've made contact with my biological father, and my 2 brothers and sister, all half siblings, of course. Ironically, they live within probably a 5 to 10 mile radius of where I live at. So it worked out pretty good. I've also been to visit several family members down in Mississippi, aunts and uncles, that sort of thing.
Wow. And they're all open?
For the most part. You know, a few of them are closed off, but I visit with who I can. You know, I'm the first born, the oldest of the bunch. It wasn't like there was any kind of marital affairs going on or anything like that. It was just, I was just an oops.
Oh, okay. So you're both of them were single?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Yeah. All right. And then did you, I'm trying to think how to phrase this question. So for me, like one of the sisters and I really hit it off. Like all of a sudden, like we were talking, texting 100 times a day. And my wife kind of, I saw right away that I needed to include her in it. And so I did. And, you know, that helped a lot. But sometimes it was still like, I didn't want her to know I was texting her so much. So I would hide it. And she knows all. I mean, I have a podcast, so I talk about it. But do you have any issues like that?
Yeah. And the first we did, it was kind of, you feel left out of it. And you just kind of want to be included, but you know he's got to take his time and get to know everybody. But you still feel those feelings. They don't go away.
Yeah, and the normal feelings. That's why I like talking about it. Because it's just, you know, we all go through it. I actually did an episode. If you guys heard of Missing Pieces? I had Lily interview my wife, and I interviewed Lily's husband. So, yeah.
Listen to that episode. Yeah, I've actually heard that one. Yeah.
Very good.
I would say that I was very much like you in that my half sister is probably one of the more open ones of the bunch, and we communicated quite a bit. I don't know that we texted each other 100 times a day, but we definitely probably check in with each other every few weeks. You know, something comes up where we make a comment to each other through Facebook Messenger or something of that nature.
You know, it's kind of like we're just siblings now.
Right. I would have to say that. Within the past 6 months to a year, I'm starting to get accustomed to the way things are. And I feel like they are just family now, you know, where before it was just, I don't know, really weird, really awkward. But seems like we're getting to know each other a little bit. I mean, it's not going to be like we grew up with each other ever, I don't think. But we are getting to know each other a little bit better. So,
yeah, I always say the best you can hope for is to be treated how they treat their other siblings.
Right. No, I've definitely experienced that. Yeah. They're fair.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And thanks for coming with him. That's really cool. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Check, check. 1, 2. Okay. So we're here at the summit and I'm talking to
Brandy.
Brandy with no last name. We're going to be anonymous. And why are you at the summit?
Well, I'm here because one of my friends who's an NPE like me that I met last year came to the summit last year and she said it was really great and it fit in my schedule and I really wanted to be around people that I didn't have to deeply explain myself to that just understood.
And did she come with you?
No, she didn't come this year.
Oh, yeah. This is my first time too. And I'm leaving tomorrow morning because I have to get back. And I'm so sad. Like, I just love it here. I mean, I'm just having a blast.
Yeah. I actually, so I listen to your podcasts and all the others because I'm addicted to them.
But mine more, right?
Well, I really like yours. And I really like, I think you, because you live near me too. And you mentioned people like Jeff Frame. And when you had the episode where I don't know if it was him, but he talked to his mother. It was just so meaningful to me. It helped me because I couldn't really articulate what I was looking for from my mom. And although he was upset with her, her responses, I actually really appreciated because it was something that I was not getting myself. And so I understood why he was upset, but I also appreciated the way she responded. You know, I never got even just an I'm sorry. You know, I never got a feeling of empathy from my mom. And I felt like at least his mom, you could tell, felt really bad. She really did feel really bad about the situation. And that came through for me hearing her voice.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's interesting that we're talking about this. But my reaction to her, I mean, I was all over the place. I wasn't angry at him for pushing him at all. I just was uncomfortable. But my mom uses tears to manipulate. And I felt like that's what she, like, especially in the second one, she really pushed my buttons a lot. Like, I was glad that he, okay, stop crying. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that. I just, you know, I have a family system and a mom who would never speak to anybody about it and would be very uppity and, you know, be a victim, but also be very angry at the conversation and never have any kind of accountability or a true depth of sadness even come through on her voice. It would be just indignant.
Yeah, that's interesting. My mom is like, I can't talk to her about it. I mean, I want to talk to her about it. Because, I mean, for me, it's like the truth is out. Like, let me, did you, I know you were married. But I told her, like, Mom, I don't care. Like, people have cheated. Like, you're not the first person and you're a totally different person now. I'm not judging you at all. I don't care. But I just want to, like, did you love him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted details and she just won't. I mean, she admitted it, so I'm grateful for that. You didn't know I was going to talk about me the whole time, did you?
I don't mind. I like hearing from other people. It makes me feel, it makes me feel better a little bit. Yeah.
I know. It's like, yeah, we're not alone. And so how did you find out?
So I did take a DNA test, and like many people, it was just for fun and I wasn't really concerned about the results. I didn't think anything of it. And I saw the results and it said I was half Middle Eastern, and I've never been Middle Eastern in my life. I was always been some mud of European types of descent. And I thought that was strange, but I also just thought that I didn't understand the way the DNA tests work. And so maybe our caveman ancestors were from the Middle East. I was really just clueless.
So you don't look Middle Eastern. Like, I had this woman on my show, and she half Portuguese and half Egyptian in the end. And you look at her, she looked, she's Middle Eastern. But you don't. I mean, you have dark hair, but your eyes are not. Are they brown? They look green. Yeah.
Yeah, I do very much look like my Syrian family, who they all stay together. So they're all 100% Syrian, Arabic. And oftentimes Syrians aren't very dark, but we have dark hair, we have curly hair, we have darker eyes and different noses. This is not my first nose. So that's probably a lot of why I don't necessarily look that way. Yeah.
So you've met them.
My biological father passed away, but he does have a sister who's alive, and I love her, and she's just like me. And my two first cousins are amazing. They saved me. They told me who I was. They told me about my culture. And I couldn't ask for anything better aside from the anger that I have that he's not here, and he lived 2 hours from me my whole life, and he was a very well-loved person. And I've been told up and down that, you know, he wasn't the little kid kind of guy. He didn't want to be a little daddy, but he was a mentor to a lot of people, and he would have just loved me, especially as an older kid or an adult. And so that's very painful.
Wow. So have you listened to my episode, Soul Cousins?
I've listened to all of them, so I probably have, but it's not ringing a bell. But you know what else? I just remembered what reminds me of your podcast, because I think your biological father, you have recordings of him on stage. So I have recordings of my father was in the field of acting, and so there's some movies and there's some interviews. So I have his voice.
Can we make an episode out of that?
No. You'd probably know who he was. Maybe. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Someday.
It's very strange to me, because I really do care a lot about the new family that I've made. And I worry more about upsetting them in some way because I really value the relationship with them and I don't want to do anything that would make them feel uncomfortable. I'm more protective of that than I am of my raised family.
Right. But so two things. So Cousins, it's called my episode. It's kind of your story. You should listen to it. Yeah. And it's really uplifting, but I don't want to say anything, but yeah. And then, are they, I know Syrian has Christian and Muslim. Are they Muslim?
They are. So they came over, early on when a lot of people came to America. So my family's very rooted in America, although their culture stays together, and they are Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christian. And they are, it's a beautiful religion for them and the history of it. It's very ingrained in their family. And they really do believe that they are the first, religion.
I mean, they are the first Christians.
Yeah. They're very proud of it. And that's another part of culture that I never had. I never had a religion like that. I never, I had no idea it was Arabic, and they grew up Arabic dancing and with the food. And I grew up with ham and baked beans and macaroni salad, which I think is disgusting. So, I mean, as white as white can be.
Wow. And so they've been in America many generations.
Yeah. Yeah. So my great grandparents came from Syria, and my great uncles, fought in World War II. So my grandfather was born here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I never think of Middle Eastern cultures having been here that long.
Yeah. There was, I think at some point, I need to go back and look at it, in the Ottoman Empire, there was some point when a lot of Syrians were coming to America from Syria.
It sounds like you're really happy with it.
I'm happy and unhappy because I don't have much of a relationship with my raised family. And there's it's not just because of, the biology. There's a whole lot of history of trauma existing there. And in my opinion, lack of support and just emotional inability to be good family members to me. And so I'm, like I said, I'm largely estranged and I'm pretty sad about it.
So did you have original siblings?
Yes. Yes.
And so did the issues between you start before this?
Yeah, there were always issues there. And largely, I would say that I became very good at just letting them go, because as an adult, I chose my own path and my own life. And, I didn't feel like, I felt like I had so much control as an adult that their issues and their problems or their ways of behaving could not affect me. Like, I had Teflon until I found this out and realized I really never had Teflon. And so it just raised everything to the surface that I never really felt like I had to deal with before. Yeah.
And so were you, like, in my family, I'm the one that got away, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I do feel like that, but there were others that got away. So, and it actually made me understand them more, to be honest. It was like a lifting of the fog, or coming out of a fog to some extent.
So for me, finding out my dad wasn't my dad explained my whole childhood, explained who I was, like nothing ever had. She's nodding.
Same, like 100% the same. I knew the second his name was mentioned to me, I knew immediately. It was presented to me as a question, as a maybe, but the second it was said, I knew exactly that he was my biological father. And I knew that was the answer to so many things in my life. So many.
So you knew he was your biological father. Did you know him?
I had met him when I was very young. He was a known person in our family. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Well, thank you so much. I know you want to get to the musical. All right.
So there was a young lady I saw there, and she was so much younger than everybody else. She was like my kid's age, like in her 20s. And so I really thought I wanted to interview her. So the last night I was there, while there was a musical going on, you'll hear it in the background, she was sitting outside alone. And so I went up and talked to her. And I just want to say how amazing she was and how grateful I was that I got to talk to her. And she was my last interview. And I think you'll agree by the end of it, you just want to stand up and cheer for her. So this is Sarah. Here at the summit with...
Sarah.
Sarah, and you're an adoptee?
I am adoptee. I'm a foreign adoptee, adopted at the age of 4 from an orphanage. I was relinquished at birth, so I spent the first 4 years of my life in an orphanage.
In what country?
Kazakhstan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Kazakhstan? Have you heard about it?
You know, I'm one of those people that study maps and just loves geography and loves going to places and cultures, and so... I know it from... So I told her about this TV show that I know called with Ewan McGregor called Long Way Round, where they drove motorcycles from London to New York, but they went like across Europe, across Asia, like Siberia to Alaska, and then across Canada.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And I think they went through there.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of... Is it deserty?
Yeah, it's the ninth largest country, and I guess the Silk Road runs through it. Like, you know, ancient paths across the continent goes through Kazakhstan. And it's very much a melting pot of a continent. A lot of different people have migrated through and passed through it, and it's a very mixed country.
So you should watch it for that. So it's called Long Way Around, and you can get it on, I don't know, it was on Bravo, but I'm sure you can get it on one of the streamers. But it's actually a good show.
Yeah. Okay, Long Way Around.
Yeah, but there's no A in around. It's like apostrophe round. Like it's a saying. It's how they, it's a like slang in the UK. Like, you know, if you don't take a shortcut, you take the long way around.
Long way around.
I'm just going to describe you to the audience. So she looks like she's from Asia or, you know, genetically. And were your parents that adopted you Asian?
No, so I am a transracial adoptee, and from my understanding I'm learning the terminology right now, but yeah, my parents are white and my sisters are white and my brother is white, so I am Asian looking. I'm from Central Asia, a country right in the middle of it, so yeah, I'm a transracial adoptee, and I grew up in a very white family and no other people of color in my family.
You know, like I know about, you know, the one child policy in China, and like in and, you know, I have a niece in Michigan who's Korean adoptee. But is it a normal thing? I've never heard of someone being adopted from your country. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, so I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, Kazakhstan is the country, and it's a post-Soviet Union country. And I don't know too much about the history of why there was a big adopt orphan population. It might have something to do with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 91. I mean, from my understanding, my story is that my mom was just a young woman, unwed bride. And, well, she was never a bride. Okay, so just an unwed young mother. And just like a lot of orphan stories, it's just, you know, they couldn't keep them. They couldn't keep the kid or whatever, for whatever reason. So just relinquished right at birth at the hospital. No backstory to be given, really. Unfortunately, that's all I know. So I don't really know the entire political system of why there are Kazakhstan orphans, but there are quite a few around the world, and lots of them in America who were adopted by Americans the way my parents did. And they found me on an agency, adoption agency online, and, you know, kind of picked me out from a catalog and all that jazz.
So is it okay if I ask a deeper question? Like, okay, so... I'm an MPE, and so it's interesting to me for being in this world now. Like, I've never understood, probably for, you know, I was never adopted, so, you know, I've never saw it from the adopted kid's point of view. Like, I would be one of those ones like, oh my God, you're not grateful? Like, you know what I mean? I would have said something stupid like that.
I was given a bad start to life, given a second chance. I do have gratitude for my adoption, but I never feel lucky. And that's something that like adoptees get told all the time, that they should feel lucky. And that's a subject that I actually feel really strongly about, because I'm like, I think you're misinterpreting the experience. We're not lucky people. None of us here are lucky to have been disconnected from our families. That's not luck. That's an unfortunate circumstance, but we can be grateful for whatever we do have now.
Your parents had white kids. Were they their biological kids?
Well, actually, my mom only has one bio son. And then the other siblings of mine were other orphans from the orphanage that I grew up in. They were biological sisters, but I'm not related to them biologically. So yeah, they adopted three kids from my orphanage.
Oh, so three kids from, teach me how to say the word. Yeah. Say it in syllables.
Kazakhstan,
right?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, you just put the emphasis on the last. Okay. So they were from there as well, but they just didn't look Asian?
Correct. They are very Germanic looking. Their mother was probably German descendant and their father was white as well. And yeah, you'll notice in Kazakhstan, there's a variety of looking ethnicities, from Asian to European looking, to more like North African, Middle Eastern looking. It is a very diverse country. So it's funny, you ask me these questions. And honestly, the most information I ever had about where I'm from is like some geographic things I picked up on my, you know, on my own through like school projects. And my parents didn't do the best job of helping me stay connected to my roots. They were of the mentality, especially my mom, given she is a post-Soviet Union refugee. She's like, oh, forget your past, you know, the new life, American life. That was her mind thinking. It's not like she was trying to hide our origins from us. We knew where we were from, but we were never talking about it. We were never like, as a family, embracing our roots. So yeah, most of my life, I like don't know anything about Kazakhstan, to be honest. And when people ask me shit, I'm like, dude, I know as much as the internet told me when I like researched it every once in a while when I'd be curious. But I would never talk about my parents about wanting to know more. A year ago, I started this journey of understanding my adoption more than just like a thing I am, but like actually how it shapes me.
So one reason I wanted to interview you, because I think you might be the youngest one here.
Yeah, I'm 26, but yeah, definitely of the younger demographic here.
Do your parents know you're here?
No. I've been very careful because I've already gotten a lot of shit to say politely, shit on wanting to be more connected to my past. They keep questioning it really harshly, unfortunately. And it's actually been really not surprising. I guess I knew I was scared every time I talked about it. And they just keep affirming why I should be scared, because they're like, what are you doing questioning? Why are you curious about your past? Like, this is your new life. You have no ties to this place. You don't speak their language. You're not from there. You're just going to be another stranger to them when you go back. So they just keep saying, this is your home. Like, stop. Yeah, it's just a lot of things that adoptees hear. Like, just get over it.
Right.
I'm in the fog. I'm in the fear, obligation, and guilt phase right now of my search and journey, where I feel like I'm putting a lot of emphasis on what my parents are going to feel, how they're feeling, rather than how I'm feeling, and trying to comfort them and reassure them rather than letting myself feel reassured in my own decisions. I keep focusing on like, oh, I don't want them to get the wrong impression, because I keep feeling that fear and obligation and guilt to appease them. And it's like, really unfortunate that the younger one, the child, has had to do that their whole life. I felt like I've done that since the day I was adopted. I'm like, I can't let them feel resentful of their decision. I have to be the perfect child they want. And just all these weird stories I must have been telling myself as a 4-year-old when I was placed into their care. I was like, I need to do something. I don't know what it was. I don't know how we developed that mentality. I'm struggling to understand that adoptee mentality, but yeah.
Because you just use that word fog. I just thought it was, oh, that's a cool saying, but it's actually an acronym.
I just learned that like 10 minutes ago.
You sound like an expert at it. So say it again. What does it stand for?
Well, I've heard the acronym was formed to describe fear, obligation, and guilt. Those are the primal feelings that we have when we're trying to understand our journey and trying not to hurt our birth family. I'm sorry, adoptive family.
Wow. I had no idea. I love little things like that, coming here and learning that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of little things I keep hearing, terms that I've never had the words to describe. That's been like really insurmountably helpful in my communication. And yet I still think I'm going to walk away with here with better communication. And I know as soon as I talk to my parents, I'm still going to be that same blubbering child mess that I end up being every time I talk about this problem. And they get so confused why I'm like tearing up and crying uncontrollably. And it like totally puts them in a defense mechanism. Like I know it does. They've told me that. And I can't help that I feel really painful when I talk to them about my adoption. It's like something I can't control. And even just like now, seeing the word adoption, I already tear up. I don't know why I'm so. Yeah, I don't know why I'm so emotional about the topic with them. It's like nobody else. I could talk with all the people here. I could talk with my friends and not get too butthurt or whatever. But with them, I get like crazy, overwhelming sensation. And it's probably because of fear, obligation, and guilt that I experienced with them. I never felt safe to talk about my experience of being an adoptee because I was supposed to forget about the past, right? That was my only job was to move on and create this amazing American dream life for myself.
Wow. Yeah. Some heavy shit we got. Yeah. Do you want to go to?
Great question.
Kazakhstan.
Great question. I am a very big spontaneous human being and I live on impulse and pull and longing, and there's no fucking way I'm not about to go jump on that and do that thing now. Like there's no time to wait. I have to go visit. That's just my personality type. So I've actually already made plans and I'm going to Kazakhstan this summer. And originally it was going to be a solo trip. I was going to spend a month there on a volunteer project. And everybody's like, what are you doing? You're crazy. How are you going to get any sense of who you are on a farm for a month? And I was like, yeah, you're right, but I still need to go. Like your reasons are valid. All their concerns are valid. It's dangerous. You're alone. You're a woman. You're foreign. You don't speak their language. Those are valid, but I still kept feeling like, okay, I don't care. Like I still feel this need to go back. So I'm going to go back. The cool thing is on 23andMe, I didn't discover my birth parents, but I did discover like a really distant cousin like many years ago. And we've been corresponding casually. And when I told him, hey, I'm coming to Kazakhstan. I want to stop by and say hi to you. He said, forget stopping by. You're staying with me. He said, I'm hosting you. You're going to stay with my family and you're going to travel with us for that month that you're going to be here. And I'm like, that just changed everything. I get to go visit my birth country, not alone, but actually with somebody who's welcoming me to my home, who's really excited for me to be there.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I see that.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's really exciting. It's happening in June.
I know this is going to seem self-seeking, but it would make an amazing podcast episode if you recorded like a daily diary there. I would love to put that on my podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, a daily diary sounds really smart. Thank you. Thank you, Don, right?
Yeah. So you've heard of my podcast, Missing Pieces?
No. Well, I've seen your poster around here or something, or your flyer.
Oh, no. There are people wearing shirts.
Okay. Shirts.
And my fan club.
Well, thanks, Don, for having me. I'm excited to chat with you more, honestly. Yeah.
Cool. So afterwards, I talked to her after I stopped recording, and I said, you know, what would be even a better idea is for you to do your own podcast. Just to do 8 episodes while you're there. Just get a recorder, take it with you, take a good microphone, and just record as you go. Because it's going to be amazing. And that's how unselfish I am, folks. Hopefully she does it, because it would be amazing. So all the music you heard on today's episode were brought to you by Billy Sullivan of Sully Stone Music. Go to sullystone.com to check out his library and more. If you want to send Don an email, it's donnpe@icloud.com. And for those of you that have written me on Instagram or emailed me, and I've totally hasn't written you back in a while, it's because I forgot. I just have the worst friggin' memory. It is really... it's really cool to be me in a lot of ways, but having my memory is really a drag to be me because it's just gone. I'm like, Lisa, just sign me up for memory care now because maybe we'll get a discount. So follow me on Instagram. It's NPE_life_podcast on Instagram. Leave a message there. I'd love hearing from you guys. My name is Don Anderson and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, NPE Life.
I'll see you on the next episode.